Now, details. This afternoon, the Attorney General has withdrawn application seeking to halt the release of acquitted former Maslok CEO Sadina Tamaklo Ationu from jail while he files same application and an appeal against the decision of the Court of Appeal at the Supreme Court. The former Maslok boss remains in custody despite having been acquitted and discharged of the charges against her. Kwekwasanti of our Legal Affairs Desk was at the Court of Appeal and has now joined me in the studio with details from the proceedings. Kweku, tell us what happened in court today.
Well, today the three-member judges of the Court of Appeal, who had in fact sought a warrant from the Chief Justice to be able to deliver a ruling on this application by the Attorney General, which ultimately sought to keep Sadina Tamaklo behind bars until the final determination actually walked in. Being legal vacation, they came in a bit informal. They were just wearing their suits, not the gown, not the wig, and all of that, as soon as the lawyers also. When the parties introduced themselves and the judges were about to deliver their ruling, the state prosecutors were up on their feet to say that they have withdrawn that application, and in fact they had filed a notice of withdrawal to the court, and had same had been served on the lawyers of Madame Sadina Tamaklo. Madame Sadina Tamaklo's lawyers do not deny that they've in fact been served, and they were also not opposed to the application to withdraw. And the application having been withdrawn, there was nothing before the court. The three-member panel struck out the application as withdrawn.
Well, in your conversation with Sadina Tamaklo's lawyers, what does it mean for their efforts to get her released from jail?
So first, we should also state that the Supreme Court, the Attorney General has not just withdrawn this application for the Court of Appeal. He has gone ahead to file the same application before the Supreme Court, which is sealed, which is seized with a substantive appeal in this matter. Lawyers for Madame Sadina Tamaklo say, as far as they are concerned, they are still working to get Madame Sadina Tamaklo released. They understand that the issues have gone on a little for some time now and proceedings have delayed, but the Madame Sadina Tamaklo, who is in custody, is very much aware of the very nature of the proceedings, and they are working to ensure that Madame Sadina Tamaklo can walk home.
As we informed you on the day the judgment was delivered, we were beginning the administrative processes for her to be released. So we have done that, and we are waiting. You know, wheels of justice, they move on their own speed and their own pace sometimes. So we are waiting to receive the necessary processes to proceed with her release. But we are working on it, and we are strongly believing that soon she'll be out with us. You know the situation in the prisons. But, we know that what we are doing is for her interest, and she also believes that what we are doing is for her ultimate interest and for ultimate release. So we are on the same page when it comes to the substance of what we are doing.
Well, still on legal matters, a private citizen, Elom Kwame Goni, has sued Attorney General Dominic Ayine and Chief Justice Paul Bafoboni, demanding that the Supreme Court declares the annual legal vacation unconstitutional. Trial during the period has become a matter of controversy, as lawyers for former Signal Bureau boss Edu Bwahing, former Buffer Stock Company boss Abdul Hanan, and others have petitioned against the move. And also, the Ghana Bar Association joined the fight, appealing to the judiciary to halt the conduct of substantive trials during the break. That position is a first, but objected by the Majority Chief Whip Roxin and Nelson Dafiamapo. He spoke on PM Express last night.
He's the one complaining. It's not a law firm that is complaining. So first of all, GB has no business in dealing with this matter, because the law firms are not members of the Ghana Bar Association. The Ghana Bar Association is constituted by lawyers licensed by the GLC. The law firms, properly so-called, as we call them, chambers, they're also licensed separately by the GLC. So if you got a petition by some law firms, you ought to have written to them that there's a proper forum convenience for them to direct their petition. But I'll deal with the issues. But I am saying that 26 years ago, this matter was determined by the Court of Appeal. Justice Badu said no. When a judge makes his private arrangements to travel during the vacation, and the warrant of the Chief Justice says that a certain court should sit and hear a matter, you, the party, you appear in court at the peril, to the detriment of your case. Because if you don't bring your lawyer, then you must either fire a lawyer and look for a new lawyer, or you call your original lawyer and say that this is the position of the court, and therefore I am looking for a lawyer interim.
Well, counsel for Dubois, Samuel Atacha, insists he will not stop at anything to hold the trials, even if it means going to the Supreme Court.
But how can you fault us for petitioning the CJ, who gave the warrant to the judge? But I respect a lot of things that are going on, but I could tell you from my experience that I will not respect any arrangement in which some cases are special and others are not. That arrangement violates the Constitution, and I will defend the Constitution with every breath that I have. I'm going to use due process.
Okay.
Is it not right to, first of all, inform a Chief Justice in the petition that, look, Mr. Chief Justice, I hold the view that your discretion has been wrongfully exercised as to start and kickstart the so-called due process he's talking about? Don't I know that I can go to the Supreme Court for declaratory relief? I know what to do. So I'm not going to put my arsenals out there, but I know what to do.
Well, but even before he proceeds on that, a private citizen, Elon Kwame Goni, has dragged the AG and CJ to the Supreme Court over the matter. And Kweku Asante is still with me in the studio. Kweku, what's the basis of his case?
We know that the judiciary, particularly the Superior Court of Judicature, Supreme Court, Court of Appeal, and High Court, take judicial vacation, legal vacation between August 1 and September 30.
Right.
Elon Kwame Goni says, if you look at the Constitution properly, that is unconstitutional because it contravenes several sections of the articles of the Constitution and that it denies the citizens the ability to go to the courts and have their cases heard and determined throughout the period of designation. And so he's seeking a number of reliefs, particularly one that will strike out legal vacation as unconstitutional so that judges will sit throughout the year and take regular leave just like any other person.
But Kweku, I want to understand, how will this pan out considering that first, the court is on vacation, and second, that the CJ himself is cited in the matter?
Yes, like you said, the Supreme Court is currently on vacation and will not likely sit on this case until the start of the new legal year in October. On the Chief Justice being one of the persons sued in this matter, he sued by way of his office, not personally, and the Supreme Court has always held in several cases that irrespective of the Chief Justice being sued in a case, the Chief Justice still reserves the power to empanel the court to sit on the case.
Well, Kweku, stay with me. Also, Joy News has secured an exclusive copy of the warrant issued by Chief Justice Paul Bafoboni authorizing Justice Francis Achibonga to sit as a vacation judge. Tell us the details that you know.
Well, yes, we'll listen to Samuel Atacha first make the claim that as far as he's concerned, the Chief Justice had given Justice Achibonga a specialized warrant to hear specific cases. Listen to him.
A vacation judge is handpicked without having in mind whether the two lawyers in the case that he was trying before who agreed to the arrest, to work during the arrest time. But here we are, the Chief Justice is saying that, look, you are a vacation judge and try these particular cases. There's no warrant like that ever issued. Do you know what you are saying? The Chief Justice is tele-guiding the cases so that these special ones should be given special treatment during the vacation. This is where my beef is. I'm not saying that the Chief Justice hasn't got the power to appoint vacation judges. But the Chief Justice cannot say that the vacation judges should hear part-head criminal cases, especially these ones.
The claim by Mr. Samuel Atacha is false. The warrant that we've secured a copy of does not give Justice Achibonga the warrant to sit on a specific case. In fact, let me read it. It says, by virtue of the powers conferred upon me, I hereby authorize you to sit as an additional High Court judge at the Specialized Court 1 Law Court Complex, Accra, during the 2026 legal vacation and conduct hearings. And so Justice Achibonga is like any vacation judge at the court, at the High Court, and hears a number of cases and not specific cases like Samuel Atacha alleged.
All right. Thank you very much, Kweku Asante. Now, still in court, the first accused person and former CEO of the National Buffer Stock Company, Hanan Abdul Wahab, told the specialized division of the Accra High Court that his lawyer, Godfred Yeboah-Dammeh, was unable to appear due to ill health. Last week, Mr. Adami petitioned the Chief Justice to revoke his directive for the trial to proceed during the legal vacation, describing it as unprecedented and stating that he would not appear until the vacation ended. Well, in a dramatic twist in court, however, Abdul Wahab told the court that his lawyer was currently hospitalized and in and out of the facility, explaining his absence. Our legal affairs correspondent, Fatal Bayagat, joins us for more on this. So, Fatal, how did proceedings unfold in court today?
And so today was supposed to be for the continuation of the trial where the first prosecution witness himself in court. But one thing that was glaring in court was that the counsel for Hanan was missing. And in fact, Hanan himself in the dock wearing a white African print told the court that his lawyer, Godfrey Yabo Adame, is currently indisposed. He's at a hospital, and that's exactly why he couldn't appear before the court. And he prayed to the judge for a long adjournment to ensure that his lawyer gets well to return to court for the proceedings to continue.
Well, it seems that Deputy Attorney General Justice Shremsai, who also was at the court, had a different opinion.
Absolutely, Mami. So he said that he doesn't believe that Godfrey Yabo Adame is unwell at the moment, because before today, he made it clear that he was not going to appear before the court because of the legal vacation. And subsequent to that, he even submitted a petition to the Chief Justice explaining why he wouldn't appear in court. So basically, for Justice Shremsai, it is not true that Godfrey Yabo Adame is unwell.
And so how did the court decide?
So for the trial judge, Francis Apanga Chibonga, he said that, yes, the statement made by the accused person, he cannot say it's true. But the right thing for Godfrey Yabo Adame to do was to bring a medical report saying that he's unwell. But he said that based on his discretion, he would adjourn the case briefly to August 17, when the parties are expected in court for the proceedings to continue.
Right, thank you very much, Fatal Bayaga there, legal affairs correspondent. Away from the courts, tomatoes are a staple in almost every Ghanaian port. But producing them, that's where we're struggling. National demand sits above 1.4 million metric tons annually, yet local production covers just 15 to 18%. The gap is filled with imports. According to CSIR, Ghana spends at least $168 million every year on imported tomatoes. Ginger is another story. Demand jumped from 18,000 tons in 2020 to 32,000 tons in 2025, with import bills rising. CSIR is calling for a push in domestic production. Well, my colleague Jason Dare with Joy News Research joins me to deal with details. So Jason, what does the data tell us about our consumption of tomatoes and our ability to produce enough locally?
Well, Mami, as of 2024, Ghana's tomato self-sufficiency rate was just 38%. Mm-hmm. This is according to the Ministry of Food and Agriculture.
Okay.
That means we are producing significantly less than half of what we consume, because national demand is estimated at about 1.3 million metric tons, but local production is only around 504,000 tons.
Mm.
So we have a supply gap of roughly 795,000 tons that has to be met from elsewhere.
Mm.
And the import data for tomato tells the same story, that, and this is according to the Observatory of Economic Complexity, that Ghana imported about $22 million worth of fresh tomatoes and another $77 million in processed tomato products in 2024. That's almost $100 million spent importing tomatoes and tomato products. What makes this even more striking is the trend, because in 2018, Ghana's tomato product imports was about $61 million.
Okay.
And then it fell to $42 million in 2019. But then in 2024, it had climbed to $100 million.
Hmm.
So in fact, OEC data ranks Ghana as the world's largest importer of fresh tomatoes by import value as of 2024.
Wow. Mali. What about ginger?
Well, for ginger in 2024, the data says that Ghana imported $693,000 worth of ginger.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Jason Day. Well, early this year, Deputy Agriculture Minister John Dumelo spoke about measures being taken to boost local production.
It would be interesting to know that over the years, we've tried so many ways to be able to be self-sufficient when it comes to tomato production. There are certain irrigation facilities around the country where there are trials going on with different varieties of tomatoes to see how best we can commercialize them. By the end of this year, where we are beginning the third dry season, I'm sure we'll be able to scale up production. And then hopefully by 2 years' time, we'll be able to cut the importation of tomatoes by 20 or 30%. And so that is the aim and that is the goal.
So what is the situation on the ground now? We've been speaking to some farmers. Eric Tufo is president of the Tomato Farmers Association.
So we normally depend on our natural rainfall. Burkina Faso has dropped so much due to too much irrigation within their country. They have a lot of dams. Burkina is having about 111 dams all over. So they can go to any of the dams and farm. And their dams are so big that about 20, 30, 40 farmers can farm around the dam. So you can get about 3-4 trucks. They'll be loading at the same dam. Another 3-4 trucks will be going to another dam. So at the end of the day or at the end of the month, they will get what they want. But Ghana, we don't have that. We normally depend upon only Balogun and Via Dam. Once we can go to a farm plane, other regions to create dams over there. And even if the dams are not ready now, we can even use a pumping machine to support.
Well, we also visited the market where traders share their experiences with the current supply and prices of tomatoes.
In terms of freedom, I'm saying only a ton of 5,000, 50 million at that kind of. They say they are swat here by 30 million. I'm also crying.
We source our tomatoes from Doma. Initially, our boxes were sized at 5,000 cedis, but this has now been reduced to 3,000 cedis. Unfortunately, this change has not encouraged customer interest or increased patronage. The cost of tomato has risen significantly, impacting our profit margins. As a result, many customers find the product unaffordable and are increasingly opting for Navrongo tomato over the Ghanaian variety due to price sensitivity.
But China ginger, enu mom na abe sai bibia, enu ufa within 3 days na price yao.
Away from that, a public health time bomb is taken in Dawenya Community 25, particularly in Bichli and Saki Bediako. For 7 months, taps have run dry. Now, thousands are forced to drink and cook with untreated borehole water. But it's not just homes. Schools can't run, clinics can't function, and health workers say even delivering babies have become a risk. My colleague Carlos Coloni toured the affected parts and reports.
For resident of Bichli, Dawenya, Saki Bediako, Top 10, and Community 25, years of unreliable water supply have worsened over the past 7 months. The crisis is now spilling into health care. At the Saki Bediako Chips compound, health workers say the shortage is making it difficult to provide essential services.
Oh, this one there is a very long time because since we opened here for the container, no water. We want Ghana Water Company to come and give us water. At least the water should flow for us to get our work done.
Well, as a result, many expectant mothers have had to have their deliveries outside the community.
Well, I didn't have my two kids here. I gave birth to them at a different hospital. For antenatal too, I didn't come here. They don't have much facilities over here. And water is also another challenge they have here. So if something can be done concerning their water, the facility, I think those of us who go outside the community to give birth, we can now stay in our community to give birth.
Private health facilities are also under pressure, spending heavily on tanker water just to keep their doors open.
From the beginning of this year, we have been having some serious water challenges. In fact, we haven't had a drop of water go through our lines from January. So for the past 7 months and over, we have been buying water, running into thousands on weekly basis.
The shortage is also disrupting schools.
Since this year, 2026, water has not run through the taps.
You're still listening to Joy News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break when we return. We have sports, and coming up later, he wasn't born Nelson Mandela. His parents called him Roli Lala. But on his first day of school, a teacher couldn't pronounce it and gave him a new name, Nelson Mandela. We'll tell you more about how African former President Yusuf Mubarak is here with sports. Mubarak, what's in sports?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagben, has received the 2026 Democracy Cup trophy ahead of the much-anticipated clash between Hearts of Oak and Asante Kotoko. The match, which brings together Ghana's two biggest clubs, is scheduled for August 28 at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium in Kumasi.
The teams are preparing feverishly for the game at the end of this month. We'll do all we can to be at Kumasi. And really, my father, His Majesty, the Royal King, since he will be there to participate. So we are glorified. This is just the third edition, and we can see the success, the impact, and the publicity it has had so far. We've now gone beyond the borders of Ghana. We've gone beyond the continent of Africa, and we are now at the global scene.
And tonight at 7 p.m., the first trophy of the new European season is up for grabs in the UEFA Super Cup as Champions League winners Paris Saint-Germain take on Europa League winners Aston Villa, and Somali referee Omar Artan, who was denied a chance to officiate at the World Cup after being refused entry to the U.S., will take charge of the clash.
Thank you, Mubarak, but I can imagine the speaker playing football anyway. Away from sports, former head of information and public affairs at Ghana's embassy in Washington, D.C., Kofi Tonto has denied any involvement in an alleged fraudulent scheme linked to approximately $19 million in irregularities at the mission. My colleague Gemma Appiah has a copy of his statement and joins me in studio with details. So, Gemma, Kofi Tonto admits to receiving at least $800, but what does he say it was meant for?
So Kofi Tonto says the $800 which he received in July 2021 was money which was lawfully paid to him as a child benefit package for the birth of his daughter, which happened in January 2021. And to the best of his knowledge and recollection, the payment of child benefit package is a standard practice that preceded him. And so we can find that in the report that about 28 other staff members also received benefits for various life-changing reasons.
Okay, he also talks about some payments made to him during his tenure as the head of information and public affairs.
Well, he says all payments such as compensations, allowances, benefits, and refunds that he received during his tenure as the head of information and public affairs at the embassy between the period March 2019 and July 2021 were received legitimately as a worker. Mm. He asked that he was never involved in decisions relating to financial management of the embassy, especially those involving the operation or closure of any bank accounts, Mami.
All right. Thank you so much, Gemma Appiah. And now, did you know Nelson Mandela's parents did not name him Nelson? He was Rolihlahla Mandela. This is one of the fascinating stories Maxwell Agbagba discovered during a visit to the Nelson Mandela capture site in South Africa. He reports.
It is the 5th of August, 1962. Nelson Mandela is traveling along this road disguised as a chauffeur. He has been moving across Africa, building support for the struggle against apartheid. But on this stretch of road, his journey is interrupted. Mandela is captured by the police. He will spend the next 27 years in prison. Today, the spot where that journey was abruptly halted has been transformed into the Nelson Mandela capture site.
After 27 years, his head was high and his fist was clenched. Nelson Mandela walked out of Victor Forster prison today.
Before he became Madiba, before he became South Africa's first democratically elected president,